Before we can get the, I want the cross over here more to the center. I don't want to block anything, but we want the cross out here in the front. And then I want somebody to help me. I need a second podium. I think God's going to teach a little, and I need to spread out. Can somebody find me a second podium? No, I'm not trying to be a diva. But I promise you, I didn't get a massage before service. Josh knows what I'm talking about. How many knows it's all about the cross? Make sure it's, hey, listen, we got to make sure that thing's stable, though. We got to, hey, guys, make sure this is stable, because if when this place gets rocking and we start breaking floor joists, I don't want that to take out the first two rows. It's a heavy cross. Although God might be trying to say something, you know? You know? One time we were marching to Lost Street Creek, and Dad had the cross, and he swung it around and knocked me out, put a big old contusion, a hematoma on my head. I was mad, but he said God was just trying to tell me something. How many knows that's all right? Children's church, come to the front and report for duty. I want you all to stop up here before you leave. Just come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. You're too slow. Come on. You're fast. You're young. You're young. You're younger than me. Come on. Hurry, 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 hurry. Hurry, 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 hurry. Now, I want you guys to look at something. I want you to look at this crew. There's already some of them back there practicing, I believe. So there's more than this here. But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something about this ministry. I want you to understand something really important. We are not here to get rid of these kids so we can have church. We take just as seriously what goes on back there as what goes on out here. God is working just as much back there as He is out here. And I don't want us ever to get so focused on our own little agendas and our own services and our own praise and our own emotions that we forget these children. I want you right now to lift your hands towards them. I want you to lift your hands towards them. Heavenly Father, we thank You for each and every child. Each and every child here, each and every child that comes in this place sometimes on weekends, Lord, and during the week and it surge. Lord, we thank You for that opportunity. We know there's so many ministries, Lord. Oh, they don't have any young people, but You've blessed us to have a young people. You've blessed us with a youth, Lord, that is hungry for You. And You've blessed us with leaders who are passionate. Oh, they don't go back there to babysit. They pray about what they're going to teach these children. They are full of the Holy Spirit, and they are instructing these children, and they are preaching into these children, and they are praying for these children, and they are crying for these children. And I thank You for that. I thank You for what You're going to do today in Children's Church. I thank You for what You've already done. You've brought revival from the little ones, Lord. Lord, it doesn't trickle down from the old to the young, but You brought revival that started from the young and burned upward, burned up to the old. I thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Go get them, guys. All right, so good to be with you guys today. You guys need to pray for me. All morning I told Myra, I actually had the kids and Myra lay hands on me. How many of y'all pray at home before you come here? It's a good thing. I had the kids lay hands on me this morning, Myra, because I was just, got that weak feeling of the legs. And that shaky, you know, the anointing was just strong this morning. So I need your prayer that I have the strength to stand. You've heard Dad say that, and I've occasionally said that, but I mean it. There's times you're so weak under the anointing that you're channeling from heaven, but the physical body has a hard time. I told Myra it's kind of like taking an old extension cord, all ratted up, wore out, frayed. That's kind of how my extension, I've got flat screen TVs running on nicked up cords, little old cords, not sorry old cords. I felt like that little old sorry old cord between this big old power station into a big city. and a little pitiful cord trying to convey all that energy. That's sometimes how it feels. It's an amazing feeling, so I desire your prayers. I do want to make clear that there's a lot of things we could be about today. I could have a mindset that I want to give you a good encouraging word to get you out on your week, to encourage you, to pat you on the back, to make you feel good. I could do that. I could give you a little salve to make you feel better about yourself. I did that for a long time. Just give me a little hour on Sunday morning so that my compromised lifestyle, so that my weak lifestyle during the week, so I could feel a little bit better about it and I could make it one more week. I could do that. What I'm going to try to do is convey a message from the Holy Spirit to try to take you farther than you've ever been before. Farther than you've ever dared to go before. Why else would we play the game? Why would we come here? Why would we do this to go through the motions? Why would we not come wanting to go further than we've ever went before? Why else would we be here, Josh? But then to go further and deeper than we've ever gone before. So today we're going to look at Palm Sunday, but maybe from a different perspective. Those of you who heard me before, you know I'm all about perspectives. The perspective changes everything. Sometimes we're used to looking at a scripture or a story or a biblical account only according to one perspective. Why? Because that's what we're comfortable with. That's what we've been used to. That's what tradition has taught us. And sometimes tradition teaches us that because it's the easier way to go about it. Sometimes we look at the easier perspective because it's easier for us to take. It's the minimal standard. I was discipling somebody this week. We were talking about minimalist standards. That the Christian church, the Western, I know the cross. Hey, if the cross is out front, that's okay. That's okay. But we've become a de minimis church. I don't mean this building. I mean the world. We've become de minimis. What's the least I can do and get to heaven, God? How many people, Pastor, how many people in this calling do we have that come to you, that come to us and say, can I still do this and get to heaven? Can I still do this and get saved? What's the most I can get by with, man? What's the least I can do? I want to do the least I can possibly do. Oh, are we not guilty of that sometimes? Is the church not guilty of that sometimes? Let's set our lines to the minimum point. What's the most I can get by with? Can you imagine if we did that in our other lives? Could you imagine if we were a ball player and we said, I just want to do the least I can to get on the team. I don't want to shoot the ball. I don't want to make the basket. I don't want to hit the ball. I want to be a nobody. I want to sit at the end of the bench and I want to get water for the ones who are playing the game. That's my goal. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine? Oh, I want to be in love. I just want to love as little as I can get by with to get a wife. Oh, man, if she'll just have me, I just want the least I can get by with just to have a wife. Just somebody to wash my clothes. I don't want to be madly in love. I don't want to love like you're supposed to love. I don't want all of love. I just want the least love I can get by with. Sometimes our perspective is based on those sort of things. Just a little something to make us feel good. And sometimes we miss the power of the story. So we're going to read. Oh, we're going to read. We're going to read some things today. And this might be a little different. I might, I'm not going to promise you what I'm going to do. I might be teaching a little more than sometimes I do, and I might not. I might be jumping around. I don't know. But we're going to look at Palm Sunday. A Palm Sunday scripture to start with. A Palm Sunday scripture. I'm going to read you something that happened on Palm Sunday. I'm going to read you Palm Sunday according to the Word of God. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke 19. Luke 19, 41. Luke 19, 41. And if you're able, and you don't have to, if you're not able, God knows your heart. You guys know if you're able, you could stand for the reading of the Word. You don't have to. God knows your heart. But if you're able and you can stand, we're going to read from Luke 19 to start with. As I read to you Palm Sunday. How many of you got that earlier when Josh, who portrayed Jesus, came in and how we were waving our palms, how we were praising Hosanna? We were talking about Palm Sunday. Did you get that? We're going to read what the Scripture says on Palm Sunday. But we're not going to read it from the people's perspective. We're going to read it from Jesus' perspective. Do you have it? Say amen. Are you ready? Say amen. Here we go. Luke 19:41. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation. You may be seated. Palm Sunday. Maybe, a lot of times we don't get that far in the Scripture. We stop at the waving of the palms. Hosanna. Whoa, that feels good, man. That's good times. That's what the people saw. But my Bible says Jesus stopped. And he looked out and he cried. I want you to pay attention. You know how many, you guys know by now, I know you know. The Bible isn't written in English originally. We've translated into every language there is, and that's great. It was written in Greek. And the Greek word that the gospel used originally was kleo. Kleo. It said, Jesus, kleo. You know what kleo means? To intensely wail. To passionately cry aloud. Kleo. He wailed. Sometimes we think about, how many remember, if you're old like me, remember that, that litter scene, that commercial with the litter, and the American Indian stood there and a little tear trickled down. That's not the word that Jesus used. He didn't stand there and a little tear come down. He wailed out loud, intensely, with everything within him. That's the word, friend. That's what your Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. He wailed intensely aloud over this scene. How many find that strange? I think it's awesome that we recreated that, because I hope it puts in your mind. I hope it puts this scene in your mind. You've got to set the scene. This had just happened, what you guys had saw. But even more so, because the whole city did it. The Bible in the book of Matthew said the whole city was in an uproar. This was the time of the Passover, and thousands of pilgrims were coming along the world from all over the known world to worship, to celebrate this festival. This was the most grand, one of the most grand cities in the world at that time in antiquity. This was a huge city. This was a major highway going to a huge city with thousands upon thousands of people making a pilgrimage. And the Word of God said the whole city was in an uproar, screaming, Hosanna, waving their palms. This was not 4 or 5 people. Because everything the Word of God says is true. And it says the whole city was in an uproar. Imagine this scene. Oh, let's just back up and read it. We've recreated it, but let's read it. Let's read it. Luke 19:28-40. Don't have to get up. We're going to be doing this a lot. After telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem. Oh, and by the way, my heading of my Bible says, the climax of the Savior's mission in Jerusalem. The climax of the Savior's mission in Jerusalem. Verse 28. And after telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany, understand that's the suburbs, that's as you're coming into Jerusalem. On the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 disciples ahead. Go into the village over there, he told them, and as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks, why are you untying the colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked him, "Why are you untying that colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it. The Lord needs your colt, friend." Hallelujah. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride. And as he rode along, the crowds, plural, crowds, plural, not one or two people, the crowds, plural, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. And when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers, not 12, friend, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Friend, they had seen the dead raised. They had seen the blinded eyed open. They had seen the cripple get up and walk. They had seen withered legs regenerate before their eyes. They had seen a man walk on water. They had seen so much. And here they are, the point in history that my Bible says was the climax of the mission. They were shouting. They were celebrating all that they had seen. Oh, all the enthusiasm, all the energy, the excitement. Oh, how exciting. All that we've worked for over 3 years, we gave up everything and we followed this man. We've spent quiet times and we've spent loud times. We've been alone when it was just us, and we've been with a multitude pressing in to get to him. We've served, and we've been wrong a lot, and he's rebuked us a lot. Friend, discipleship is not about encouraging you, and it's not about telling you what you want to hear, and it's not about endorsing every thought you have. It's about taking you and molding you into something God will use. If you come to me for discipleship, and all I do is say, "Keep up the good work," you don't need me, friend. I'm here to deliver a message from you, from the Holy Spirit, and to change you, man, to change some things about you so that God can use you. That's not always comfortable. It's not always comfortable to change. Oh, so they had been rebuked. They had been changed. They had been discipled. They had been encouraged. They had laughed. They had cried. They had seen things. Oh, these were normal men. These were not some theologian or some royalty. These are normal working men like you and me, from different classes. Oh, from the poor, from the ones that worked and toiled with their hands. Oh, in our culture, you can think from the coal miners, man. But you guys work hard. You guys work hard. Construction workers, you guys work hard. Oh, those of you that break your back to make a living for your family, you work hard. Oh, but there were also tax collectors, and there were also other people. There were soldiers, there were rebellion, there were zealots, there were political zealots, there were people, man, all sorts of people, different people. But God used them all, unique. He used them all. Can you imagine what they saw? They thought they were born just to be a fisherman. Some of you think you're born. Oh, you're born to be a coal miner. You're born to be this. You're born to be a teacher. I'm telling you what, you're selling yourself short. God has called you to go on to a fantastic, amazing voyage, a journey like you can never imagine. We've got to quit selling ourselves so short. I'm not born to be a lawyer. I am born to raise the standard of Jesus, Yahweh, Yeshua. I am here to preach the gospel, to take the gospel to those that society and religion have left behind. But guess what? So are you. So are you. So you can imagine this scene. You can imagine the emotion, the climax of this whole journey, his whole life. He was born for this moment. He was born for this entry. He was born for this week. He was born for this moment. The edge of history. Friend, you can react however you want to react to the gospel. That's up to you. I can't twist you into it. But I can promise you this. You can go to Harvard and you can go to Yale. You can go to Mr. Jefferson's fine university. You can go to all the highest levels of learning. And you can listen to some great Western theologians and philosophers tell you that this is all not real. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. Every single one of them will say, there's nothing that ever changed human history like Jesus Christ, whether you believe it or not. They don't even try to deny that. Oh, they try to deny the reality of it, but they won't lie. They can't deny nothing changed this planet like Jesus Christ. And that's the moment we find ourselves on Palm Sunday. Can you imagine their emotion? These weren't just go through the motion screams. Oh, yeah, yeah. This was everything they had. They had poured their life into this moment. And they screamed with all they had. Everything they had, this was not going through the motions. This was real. The moment, the brink of human history. And they said, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Dad mentioned it early. Some of the Pharisees, some of the religious folk came out. They said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. It's not dignified to jump around and act like that. That's not the way we do things. Friend, I don't care how you do things. That's up to you. I've done a lot of crazy things in my life. I've shut up when I should have said something. And I've yelled stuff when I should have shut up. I've done a lot of crazy things in my life. But I tell you what my Bible says. My Jesus says, I endorse their shouts. If they don't shout, the rocks will shout. So you can keep quiet if you want to. You can say it's just not my style, but Jesus Christ said it is your style. So get over it. Get over it. I'm not somebody that likes to mess with other people's. I don't do that kind of stuff. But when Jesus Christ says something, I will not back down and refuse to preach it for fear of offending some kind of denomination. I'm not afraid of religion, and I'm not afraid of backgrounds. I fear Jesus, and I fear Yahweh, and I will preach the truth. So don't misinterpret anything that's preached here today. Jesus endorsed their shouts. Jesus endorsed their cheers. He said, yes, it's appropriate. Oh, goodness, if they didn't, the hills would cry out. He endorsed their cheers. So their cheers and shouts were not bad things. Your cheers and shouts and praises, they're not bad things. Jesus said, how can you help it? When you're in His presence, how, my friend, can you help it? So our cheers and our shouts and our praises and our hosanna are wonderful things. They're God things. They're natural reactions to the presence of a holy God. And if you don't do it, somebody else will. And if not a single human being will, then nature itself will cry and praise God. But, we contrast this scene. Powerful emotion. Powerful yelling. Powerful scene. It kind of makes you feel like, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but it's like a good kind of party. You know? It's like a good time. Doesn't this sound fun? Wasn't this fun earlier? when we got these things. Wasn't that fun? It should be fun. All right? Nothing wrong with that. This seems like a fun scene to me. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't you like to have been there? So why then, in the middle of a party thrown for Jesus, a party that celebrated the triumphant entry of the King, why then did he stop and look out upon this scene in the city? And not just here, but wail, well, cry, passionately cry. Why? Have you ever thought about that? Is this the Palm Sunday you've ever thought about this on Palm Sunday? Sometimes Palm Sunday is just funner to have a fun one. Let's have a fun one before we get hit hard next week with all the emotional stuff. Let's just get together and jump up and down and celebrate. But have you ever thought about what's really going on here? From Jesus' perspective. Now we know that in just a few short days, what waited on Jesus, and we know he knew it. He was born for this moment. He knew he would be arrested. He would be mocked. He would suffer like no man would suffer. He would sit there and they would take their hands and pull his beard out one piece by one piece. And they would take those mighty whips, not whips like horse little peep peep, but the whips with the big pieces of metal on the ends and just dig them into his flesh. He'd be beaten beyond recognition. In Hollywood, they make their little movies, but it doesn't even come close. He would go to a cross. He would go to a cross where real spikes would be driven through his very flesh. You know why? For you. And sometimes when we just think that, we still miss it. Because lots of people died. There have been missionaries all over this world, cannibalized and boiled alive and eaten and killed. But there were several differences. One, Jesus at any point in time could have come off. Can you imagine the mental, spiritual fortitude to sit and take that kind of beating and sit and take it minute after minute, knowing he could snap his fingers and it would be over? There was not a nail in the Roman Empire. There was not a centurion or soldier in the Roman Empire that could have kept Jesus Christ on that cross. My friend, love for you and love for me was the only thing that kept him on that cross. And love for God the Father. Love for God the Father. So he could have been, you could easily say, well, maybe Jesus was thinking about that, but no. We know in the garden he did. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells us specifically what Jesus was thinking as he wailed in this party. It says, I wanted all of them. Jesus said, I wish all of them would have got this moment. You see what Jesus knew. And here, I don't want you to miss this, friend. Here's what Jesus knew. And this is where I want us to go deeper today. I want to go past the palms. I want to go past the leaves. And that's a wonderful thing, and Jesus endorses it. And he clearly endorses it. But there's deeper places, friend. What he knew was that their praise was empty. You see, he could see ahead. And he knew this whole city that welcomed him, welcomed their conquering hero, welcomed to Jesus that they thought would conquer Rome and help them right now, welcomed to Jesus that would flavor their life the way they want it flavored, Welcome to Jesus that would just be their little spice for their own cup of gumbo. Welcome to Jesus that would bless them on this earth just the way they wanted. That would heal mama when she was sick. That would give them a new job when they wanted a new job. They didn't really want Jesus. They wanted a Roebuck wish list. They wanted a Christmas book wish book that they used to have in the old days. That's what they really wanted. Because less than a week later, where was that crowd, friend, at the cross? Where were the cheering people at the cross? Jesus looked upon their cheers, and it was prophesied some 500 plus years earlier by the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. This was meant to happen, and he was about their praise, but he looked out and he cried because he knew their praise was empty, my friend. You see, it's not enough to praise on Sunday morning if we're not willing to go to the cross. We've got too many people that's about the party, and they're about Jesus when it suits them right, and when things are going fine, and when they have a good little girlfriend or a good little husband, and things are good, and they got a little money in their pocket, and Jesus helps them go to Myrtle Beach, and Jesus, and I'm not against any of that, I do some of that, but we got to be about Jesus to the cross, my friend. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. It's farther than that. So let's look forward. Let's look forward. How empty was their praise? How empty was their praise? Say, that's hard. That's hard, preacher. Well, let's see how much they meant it. Let's see how much they meant it. You can look ahead to Luke 23. Luke 23 and 13. Luke 23 and 13. You guys aren't praising enough, the babies will cry out. The babies will cry out. Luke 23. Babies cry, thank God. Luke 23, verse 13. You got to think, again, look at the scene. This is just a few days after this big party. This is just a few days after everybody said, this is our king. This is just a few days after we said, we're with Jesus till the end. This is our man. This is our king. And just a few days, less than a week. Less than a week. Oh, my Lord. Help us, help us, help us. And Jesus had already been suffering, and he'd been bounced from Pilate to Herod and back to Pilate. And then Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders, along with the people. Not just the priests. Again, every word in this Bible is true, and it's every word's important. And you don't just gloss over or just skip over words, or you'll miss something. We blame it all on the priests, and they sure had their share. But my Bible says, along with the people. Who's the people? Me. You. Not just the high priest, my friend. The people. We're the people. The crowd. Who's the crowd? We're the crowd. Along with the people. And he announced his verdict. You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence and find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. So I'll have him flogged. That'd be bad enough, right? I'll have him flogged and then I will release him. Now listen to this. Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd. Now listen to this next part. We like to imagine, and it probably makes for better drama, that there were people in the crowd yelling, no, we love Jesus. And then there was people in the crowd saying, no, crucify him. And I can't dispute, I wasn't there, but my Bible says, with one voice. My Bible didn't say there were two or three different types of people screaming. What it says, the Word of God, says, with one voice, they shouted, kill him and release Barabbas. Not with the loudest voice, Josh. Not with a dominant voice. Not with the majority voice. With one voice. Two crowds, my friend. One voice earlier. Hosanna! Oh, Jesus is our guy. Less than a week. One voice. Kill him and give me Barabbas. Oh. One voice that really stuck out to me. God, show me that like never before. One voice. Barabbas was in prison for taking part in an insurrection against Jerusalem, against the government, and for murder. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. For a third time he demanded, why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. So I will have him flogged and then I will release him. But the mob shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die as they demanded, as they had requested. He released Barabbas, the man in prison for insurrection and murder. And he turned Jesus over to them to do as they wished. Bible placement is so important. And I don't suspect for one moment, don't believe for one moment, that anything is placed in these pages by accident. In less than a week, in just a couple chapters, the Word of God clearly shows us two crowds. Two crowds. Each with one voice, but each saying radically different things. And you know what? That might seem weird to us. You know, that might seem weird to us. Why would they flip that quick? Why? You know why? Because people are good at making their own personal Jesus. People are all about the Jesus that feels right to them. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. There's only one Jesus. But people mess that up, and you can see it clearly in God's Word. When Jesus rode in the first time, and they thought he was going to overthrow Rome, and they thought he was going to bring them less taxes. Woo, it's all about the taxes. They thought he was going to be more money in their pocket. When he fit their need, or their tradition, or their custom, or their upbringing, or what they were comfortable with, or their pride, or their lifestyle. They were all about it. Sometimes we're all about Jesus. As long as we can live our prideful life, and our life's all about us, and we just sprinkle a little Jesus dust on it to make us feel good on Sunday morning. Sometimes we're all about that. Sometimes we're all about Jesus if he's traditional or like I believe. Let me tell you something. When somebody starts saying, well, I believe this, if they don't say John 2 or Luke 2 or Matthew 2, if they don't give me a sight, they're just creating their own Jesus. I don't care what you think. I care what the Word of God says. Well, I think God knows my heart. Well, I think the Word of God says there's only one way to the Father, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he's the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. Well, I believe there's multiple paths. I believe God knows my heart. I believe that God looks past our insecurities. I believe God looks past our ignorance. My Bible says many will come, and he'll say, go away. I never knew you. That's the truth. Friend, so they were about the Jesus that felt right to them. The Jesus that just accompanies their life and they can have a nice little life and do all their hobbies and do all their things and play around with this and play around with that. They were about that. But when it came time to go to the cross, they weren't about that anymore. And you know, We know about substitute theology. We know about the idea that Jesus was substituted for Barabbas. Who's Barabbas? The son of a father. Who's the son of a father? Any of us. We know about that. We know Jesus was substituted on a cross for our sins. We know Jesus was substituted for Barabbas. But have you ever flipped the perspective once again and understood that not only was Jesus a substitute for Barabbas, but for that crowd of people, Barabbas was a substitute for Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, in the year 2014, we've got too many people praising God on Sunday morning, but during the week, they say, "Give us Barabbas." They made Barabbas their Jesus because Barabbas would accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. They thought Barabbas would give them a better chance to overthrow Rome. Here was Barabbas, this rebel. He had already led one rebellion against Rome and killed people. We'll just take our chances with Barabbas. Oh yes, I come here the first time and that music's a pumping. Boom, boom. And I feel it. And that's not, I'm not making fun of that. It's real. It's real. I told you, God endorsed it. Jesus himself endorsed it. It's real. But we got to go beyond to the next level. Deeper things. The pastor said deeper levels this year. We got to go beyond. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I love it. But where will this crowd be when we get to the cross? Where? Let's make it personal. Where will you be when it comes time for the cross? What's the cross? We wear them on our neck. We know Jesus hung on it. We know all about it. Such a precious, just touching it. It's powerful. And oh, this one, we know this is just some old piece of wood. Probably somebody got Lowe's. But can you imagine what this represents? Cross. Yes, it was a place where Jesus went. He bled and he suffered for you. It was Jesus' love letter to you, friend. There's people in this room that don't feel love, don't feel one, and never have. And you've searched everywhere in the world for love. You've been with every man, every woman, every kind of drug, every kind of party, every kind of job, every kind of money, every kind of TV show, every kind of thing you can come up with. You've listened to every kind of theology, every kind of philosophy. You've read every kind of book, Twilight, whatever you want. You've read everything, done everything. And you can't satisfy that void because only one thing will satisfy your void. Josh, we can't play enough golf. Jason, we can't fish enough. Bobby, we can't get big enough. Women, you can't get enough handbags or shoes or whatever it is you like. You can't watch it enough. You can't do it enough. I'm telling you, there's only one thing. His name is Jesus. So yes, the cross was about that. But the cross is still about that. My Bible says that we have to carry the cross. We have to carry our cross. We have to go to the cross. And what's that talking about? We've heard baptism. The old man's died and the new man comes forward. What does that mean, the cross? Friend, that's where salvation is. That's where the deeper things are. The cross is the place where you die. Where you die. Paul says we die daily. But the cross is the place where you die. And he becomes life in you. The cross is not a dead place. The cross is not a cemetery. Oh, there's lots of people that go to these places and they see these great tombs. They go to these tombs to celebrate fallen leaders. There's even many religious leaders that they go celebrate their tombs. My friend, there is no tomb that has anybody in it. Because the tomb of my Savior is empty. My Savior lives. My Savior lives. So we go to the cross. We have to die to self. all those prideful things, religious things. We have to kill those things so that he can fill them with something even greater. Now you say, why? Heath, I thought this was easy. No, not easy. But guess what? Jesus does not want you to die to flesh because he loves to see you suffer. He wants to see you die to flesh because that, my friend, is where joy, peace, happiness, purpose, destiny lives. Let me ask you this question. If the flesh works, why weren't you happy when you came here? It blows my mind. People come and they want a little dabble, do you? They want a little spice in their own gumbo. But if your way works, then why hasn't it worked yet? Huh. When my daughter, she's pitching today. Somewhere halfway across the coast over there. When I wanted her to learn how to pitch, I took her to people that had been there. They pitched in the college World Series, pitched places and done things. If you want to know how to get happy, look to some happy people. Quit associating around a bunch of miserable people and asking, how do we get happy? Start looking to some happy people and say, how do I get what you got? How do I get what you got? See, Jesus knew something. That to get them to where they needed to go, they had to die of the flesh and they had to go to the cross. Because he was entrusting man. Think about this. This is powerful. He doesn't come down here in the flesh and start pointing. He entrusts you and you and you to spread the gospel and to prepare his bride for that wonderful wedding feast. He trusts us. And he knows you in your fleshly state. You're not able to do it. You're not capable to do it. I'm not capable in my flesh. My flesh had to die. And I had to be born again and filled with his Holy Spirit so that I might be entrusted to stand humbly before you today and proclaim the gospel so that you may go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. See, he knew what the work ahead was. He knew it was going to be tough sometimes. He knew he was going away and they would have to build the church. 11, substitute 12, substitute 12 ordinary men changed human history. All over this world, churches and people following Jesus Christ because of 12 ordinary men refused to let his dream die. You want your family to live? Don't let his dream die. I'm getting to a close. I'm trying to. I don't want to be long. I don't like long-winded preachers. I fail to see the humor in that. Some of you laugh too hard, I'm going to come back and punch you in the throat. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. That's right. Ball games and races. I went to a race, 14 hours in traffic, 6 hours in a race, rain delays, ear ringing, rump sore, squished in beside people I didn't like. I didn't particularly smell that good. 14 hours drive home. Woo, great time. Woo, let's go again. You got to be kidding me, man. Didn't change a thing. Think back about when James and John came to him, Mark 10, 35 through 38, and said, "Teacher, we want a favor. What's your request? When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right, other on your left." There's people in church today fight to be close to your preachers and pastors. "I just want to be the man who gets the microphone the most and closest to him." And blah. Jesus, can I be the one? Am I your favorite, Jesus? Am I your little favorite? You know what that, you know what Jesus said? You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptizing of suffering that I must be baptized with? Friend, when you ask that kind of question, I have an answer for you. Are you ready to go to the cross? Are you ready to go to the cross? Or do you just want a voice? Or you just want a platform? Or you just want your little moment in the sun? Is it all about you all the time? My friend, you'll never get to the deeper places until you die of that. And you go to the cross. Until you go to the cross. So two crowds, constructing their own Jesus, they said, Barabbas fits our Messiah better than this Messiah. This Messiah asks us to die at a cross. This Messiah asks us to die to self. We'll take our chances with this little rebel. Two crowds. There's a third crowd. And this is a quick crowd. This isn't a big lot of scripture. If we go on further, Luke. Go a little further to the actual cross. And I'm not going to repeat. You guys know what happened. He was beaten and tortured. And he was hanging on a cross. Could come off at any moment. But he stayed on there for you and me. And all he's really asking is for you to give all and love him back so that he can make you the happiest, most fulfilled person. So that he can give you a destiny like you can't imagine. You've bought a lie. You've settled for a life that you know you're not happy in. I'm talking to people that don't know him, but I'm talking to some who profess they do. We've settled for a life that we know we're not happy in. Jesus didn't go to the cross so you could be insecure, depressed, addicted. He didn't go to the cross so that you could struggle day after day. He went to the cross so you could walk in destiny. The struggle is the dying of the flesh. You get past that, it's all gravy. It's all good after that. So he was on the cross. And we had all those crowds in the first scene in the Palm Sunday. We had all that crowd yelling, give us Barabbas. And here we are at the cross. We've always said, boy, what would it have been like to be at the cross? You couldn't handle it, friend. I couldn't handle it. There we were at this moment that changed the world forever. There's only two dates that matter, before that day and after that day. Human history changed forever. Where was the crowd? You know who was there? His mother, his aunt, Mary Magdalene, and John. Just a few. All those people, and just a few. Those of us that say, man, these women, where were the men? These women are too active in these churches nowadays. These women too active. Well, I look at the cross and 3/4 of them that actually stood by his side were women. And the big macho men ran like roaches, scattered like roaches when the light went on. And some of them stayed in the distance a little bit, you know. And some of them didn't. But where was the crowd, friend? At the cross. So at the moment, he talked to the disciple he loved, which we call John. We know as John. Talked to his mother. And then at the end, in Luke 23, 47 through 49, as we're coming to a close, he said, what the Bible says, when the Roman officer overseeing this execution saw what had happened, he worshipped God and said, surely this man was innocent. And when all the crowd who came to see the crucifixion, keep in mind, these weren't his followers. These were the curious crowd, the ones just coming to see a show. That's what they did back then. This was their sporting event. They'd watch people get tortured and suffer in gladiator fights and lion fights. They got a kick out of it. But here, you know what? In Wise County, they used to come watch hangings too. So don't think it's something that old. When the crowd had saw this, who came to see the crucifixion, saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. Listen to this. But Jesus' friends, including the women who followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. When the final moment came, even his closest friends stood at a distance. Three crowds in this story so far, friend. One was all about the praise when it was suited them. A second said, no, we want a Jesus that fits our needs better. And a third went home and said, I missed it. I missed it. I missed it. Surely we saw something great here. Surely this man was God, and I missed it. Are you going to miss it? This was not a sad story, though. Because we got Easter next week. He didn't stay in a tomb. He got up. And you know those men I told you that scattered like roaches? Oh, you know what? When people say, I don't believe in it, here's the best reason to believe in it. Well, that's not the best reason, but there's a good reason to believe in it. It's a good reason to believe in it. If somebody came to you and said, follow me, worship me, give up your life, give up your job, give up everything you got, and you follow me for 3 years, you give me everything you got, you just leave everything, and you follow me, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to get up. And he died, he stayed in the ground. I'd go back to fishing. I don't know about you, but I'd go back to fishing. I'd go back to my family. I'd find me an idol to worship. But these men, they got up on Easter Sunday morning and their life changed forever. And they said, I will go to the cross. This same crowd, this fickle crowd that scattered like roaches, these old ordinary men, they were changed forever. And they said, guess what? We'll go to the cross. And 11 of them died on the cross. And they would not recant. And they would not change their story. And they would not bow down. They died for what they saw. They went to the cross. They went to the cross. And they changed human history. And they changed the world. And because of them, we have the Holy Word of God. And we have this thing, this privilege to get together and raise His name. They walked in their destiny. They had destiny. That's why God set it up this way. Because you have destiny. Because He's called you for such a time like this. Such a time as this. This is your day. You have destiny. Oh. You have destiny. He doesn't want to see you suffer. He doesn't want to see things bad for you. You have destiny. If you could only grasp your purpose. I'm here to tell you, the devil, we're coming to a close. The devil has told you you're nothing. You know who I'm talking to. There's people in this room. It's not one person. The devil's told you you're not worthy. The devil's told you you're nothing. The devil tells you you're a nobody. You've heard those voices in your head too long. He's told you you can't quit. He's told you you can't do it. He told you you don't have a voice. He's told you you're shy. He's told you you're not talented like the preacher. He's told you you're not meant for this. He's told you it's not convenient. He's told you I don't know if it's real. He's told you it's not in line with what grandma said. He's told you all sorts of things. But I'm here to tell you the Word of God is true. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's called you for this moment. For this moment. You. Nothing against no man. And I believe in spiritual authority, and we need more of it, I'm telling you. But I don't have to go to a preacher. I'm telling you, you have destiny. Not just me, not just him. You have destiny. And it's time to get up out of your seat and walk in destiny. It's time to walk in destiny. Some people think their life's already over. Their life's past tense. If your life was over, he'd have took you on, friend. Your life is not over. Get up from where you sit. Get up from where you sit. Your life is not over. I think the last scripture I might read, Jesus said, and he's telling you today, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you even until the end of the age. So here's the question. What kind of crowd is this? Oh, internet, iTunes, Ustream. What kind of crowd is this? Which one are you? I've given you four crowds. I gave you one whose praise was empty. They were about it for the moment, but they weren't about self-sacrifice. I gave another one that constructed Jesus to meet their daily needs. Oh, I'll fit him in when I can fit him in, as long as I get my thing on. I gave you a third one. They sat at the cross and they were sad because they knew they missed it. And I gave you a fourth one who went and changed the world. Which one are you? Which one are you? And you know what determines that? Oh, it's not just saying something. We all say stuff. Talk is cheap. I can get on the TV, and I'm not against better watch. I can send some money to this and buy that thing, and I can say all kinds of things. Friend, are we willing to go to the cross? Are we willing to go to the cross? You said enough. I've said enough. I've been talking. Talk. Warrior talk. That's cool. That's cool. We got enough cool preachers. We got enough people. Cool. You know what? I really am. This is my fourth one, Josh. I don't normally do this. You know what I like about this man? I mean, you know, we're not, I mean, you know, some people think I'm a clone. I'm not a clone. We have some differences. We don't argue, but I mean, we're different people. I think we fit together. I think we complement each other when we keep everything adjusted. I think we complement each other. But you know what I respect? It's not just the fact he's a great worship leader. It's not just the fact that he'll take a call at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's not just the fact that he preaches good. It's not just the fact that he'll go. Those are great things. You know what I appreciate? When he gets around these little kids or these people hitchhiking or these people that somebody wouldn't pay attention to, he's not worried about looking cool. If we had more people who were around our youth who weren't just strutting around all the time, we had more little hack take out a little wooden cross and get down on their level and get down on their knees and say, I'm a nobody, but God loves you. Look what God did to me. I'm telling you, I've been guilty of this. I admit it. We've got too many people worried about being cool and not enough people willing to go to the cross. To go to the cross. There's going to come a day when your coolest gets you nowhere. It looks stupid. Well, it's hard preaching. Well, it's the truth, sorry. I'm not real good at holding back on words. Thank God. So let me ask you. Simple. I don't want you to say it just to say it. I don't want you to, you know, sometimes we'll praise just to praise. And again, nothing wrong with that. Jesus endorses the praise. He's about the praise. He specifically said it in his gospel. But I want to know, do you mean it? Are you willing to go to the cross? Because, friend, that's where life is. That's where destiny is. That's where it is. Every head bowed. Every head bowed. What kind of crowd is this? Is it a sad crowd? Is it an empty praise crowd? Is it a give us Barabbas? Give us Barabbas. Kill him. Kill him. Don't you go to sleep right now. Don't you go to sleep. Don't you quit on this. Don't you quit on this. There's an enemy that doesn't want you to change today. There's an enemy, I'm telling you. There's an enemy that's okay with us getting together and rocking out. Oh, he don't like it, but he'll take that if you don't go out and go to the cross. There's an enemy that's whispering in your ear, and he's trying to distract you. But I don't want you to quit right now. Because after the service, I don't want Jesus looking out and wailing and crying over this crowd. I don't want Jesus, who died and suffered for us, to look out on this crowd and say, oh yeah, they praised me earlier. But he's wailing and crying because he knows you're not going to the cross. He knows you're not willing to go to the cross. I don't want that, friend. I don't know about you. I don't want him looking at me after a church on Sunday and wailing and crying aloud. Where do you stand today, crowd? It's personal. Man, woman, boy, or child, where do you stand? You can't escape. You're in this crowd. So you come on one of these, you fall into one of these lines. You fall into one of these points. If you're in here and you know that you may have been about some things, but you know deep in your heart, you've not died to self. You've not died to self. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. I want you to raise your hand with me. Right now, all over this room. Right now, all over this room. Right now, all over this room. I need to die to self. I need to die to self. Come on. Come on, we really got that together. Oh my goodness. Oh, we should have Lost Creek built. Oh, I know there's 10 or so hands, but I'm telling you, if there's not this many people have already died to self and you're on fire and you're living in destiny, then where are the bodies? Where are the seats? Where are the butts in the seat? Where are the people on the altar right now? That's what I want to know. Let's stop kidding ourselves. Let's get honest with each other. Who still needs to die some right now? I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. I want you to hold it up. 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 That's right. All over this building. Oh, we're not going to lie. We're not going to kid ourselves. We'll never get to the cross kidding ourselves. We'll never get there kidding ourselves. Oh, Jesus is asking that question today. Who will go to the cross? If you go to the cross and you mean it, and you really mean it, hands in the air, hands in the air. If you're willing to go to the cross and you mean it, hands in the air. If you're not, you're shouting in the spiritual. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Kill him. Kill him. I don't want Jesus. If you want the real Jesus, if you want to go to the cross, I want you to hold him up. Hold him up. Hold him up. I want Jesus. I want the real Jesus. I want to go to the cross. Hold him up. Hold him up. Hold him up. Jesus is looking out right now. He's looking out. I want you to hold him up. Oh, I want you to hold him up. Oh, don't quit. Leave him up. Leave him up. Leave him up. There's a cross up here. There's a cross up here. And that's just a symbol. That's just a symbol. But if you mean it, if you really mean it, and you say, Jesus, I'll go to the cross with you. If you don't mean it, I don't want you to come. I mean, I'm serious. I don't want you to come unless you really say, Jesus, I want it. I want that next level. I want more of you. I want destiny. I want that. I may not have it figured out, but I want to get there. When I count to three, I want every hand that's raised and everybody in here that wants the cross, Today you will choose the cross. If that's you, when I count to three, I want this crowd to say, we're the fourth crowd. We're the world changers. We're the ones who will come to the cross. We're the ones. And if it gets crowded, I want you to push through. I want you to push through. Are you ready? One. Are you ready? It's about the cross. It's about the cross. Two. I don't want you to be shy. Shyness is over. Today is your day. Today is your day. We're going to take it to the cross. Forever change. Three. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. What kind of crowd is this? What kind of crowd is this? What are you saying? What is your soul crying out? What is your soul crying out? What is your soul crying out? Give me the cross. Give me the cross. Give me the cross. Oh, if you're out there on the internet, if you're out there on Ustream, if you're out there on iTunes, I don't care who's around you. I don't care how stupid you think it looks. I want you to raise your hand right now and pray and say, I will take the cross. And say, I want the cross. I want Jesus. I want the cross. I want the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, cry out into the cross, friend. This is what Palm Sunday is all about. It's about the cross.